total package.
I left the on red, cause I felt like it drug me down in the rest and look.
Microphone check, is this thing really on?
Yes it is.
Yes it is. We are here. We are back. We are Bizak. We all good over there, Mikey Mike. What's up? What's up, P Chris? Okay, that's how you feeling today.
Got that new Cardi B. I like the new album.
I haven't even heard that. The whole album's out?
Yes, it came out last night. Well, by the time this airs, it won't be last night. But yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know. I saw, and it was a, she did have a song with Migos. I wasn't really feeling
it. Is that Drip?
The drip I saw it on Tidal, and I was like,
I heard that when I was working out in the gym earlier this week. So I guess maybe that leaked. Well, no, I guess she let that out.
Yeah, because it was on Tidal. So mm-hmm.
I haven't listened to the whole album. I've heard bits and pieces. Yeah, it was okay. I mean,
all right. Well, we'll see what Cardi B has to offer. Speaking of music and in the music industry, so last couple of weeks, there has been some video. Well, yes, video that went viral with our guy there. F-A-B-U. Oh, sorry, yeah. F-A-B-O.
Yeah. L-O-U-S.
You see, that's trying to be grammatically correct. Okay. Yeah, all of that. Mr. Fabulous, ranting and raving against his girlfriend, Emily B, and baby mama, and her dad.
Yeah.
Threatening them, going ballistic outside of his Inglewood home. So, allegedly, probably, what, March 7th, they said that a police report was filed by Emily B. And she said that Fabulous punched her seven times.
Mm-hmm.
Punched her seven times. And then two of her front teeth were loose of some sort. And I don't know what's going on. I mean, because they have had a long, long history of back and forth. Like, can I just tell you? So when Love and Hip Hop New York first aired.
I used to watch it.
And Emily B's storyline started.
Mm-hmm. I know where you're going with this.
I was like, oh my God, this is so depressing.
Yeah.
I mean,
she was in a dark room crying.
Oh, my God. It was so depressing. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is going on?
He wouldn't be on the show. He didn't want to claim her.
Yeah, it was like he was treating her like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, complete shit. And she was like, her whole world was over, done with.
And I feel like that was the first time we as the public got a slightly... Because they're pretty private. Mm-hmm. But that was the first time we got a glimpse of their relationship, and it wasn't a good one. I mean, he wasn't on the show, but it was obvious from the things she was saying. And
yeah, because he was like sleeping with all these girls mm-hmm. on her. She was just super depressed. I mean, it was like her life could not go on mm-hmm. without Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Emily B is supposed to be a stylist of some sort. And it's just like she just couldn't. I mean, at that time, she only had one child by him. And now she has two children, right? Supposedly they had gotten back, worked out their differences, gotten back together over the years. Because that was years ago. That was like, I mean, what, like 5 years ago or something? I mean, that...
Yeah, well, that was longer like that. Than probably that. Yeah,
really? It was a long time ago. So over the course of these years, they've had another child together. So now she has three children because she has one child from a previous relationship,
but
a daughter.
But I think he also
claims as his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had now they have two sons together. And it was interesting because, like, you know, over the years, I was like, oh, well, you know, now he's claiming her and... You know, she's, mm-hmm. you know, making it seem like they're taking pictures out here and there and coupled mm-hmm. up. So
Halloween matching outfits.
And I was like, well, maybe they've worked out their differences. And then this video shows up, and supposedly on ebony.com, they're saying that she's like making excuses. Not because he's been charged.
Yeah.
And he may serve 3 to 5 years and a $15,000, I think, fine or some sort. So now it's in the courts.
When it's in their hands, there's nothing she can do
about it. And she is trying to, they're saying, supposedly, according to Ebony.com, she's talking to him every day because I guess they still have to co-parent, mm-hmm. right? Who knows how dependent she is on him for
finances.
And they're saying that she's making excuses for him. Mm-hmm. Even though she was like in that video taping him, right? Because he lunged at her. Because she was, like, taping him.
Putting the phone up, yeah.
Yeah, as he was, like, raging and lunging at her. So, I don't know. I mean, the girl should have left him, like, years ago from what I saw. The girl should have left him years ago because I just felt like her self-esteem was in the toilet. When I mean in the toilet, in the toilet. And, allegedly, one of my friends said that this is not the first he's seen him smack Emily at Live.
The club Live.
In the club Live years ago. So it ain't the first. It didn't look like, I mean, if he punches seven times, I mean, I just felt like looking at that relationship that it was such an unhealthy relationship.
Well, let me say this. I felt like in the video that we see of the argument, because the video we see is not the initial fight that had happened weeks prior. From my understanding, the video we see was days later, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And she clearly is terrified. Mm-hmm. When, as he's ranting and raving and going on and on and on, she is like, when he comes close to her, she runs for dear, like,
yes.
like. Life. Like, she runs. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back and she puts the phone up. And obviously putting the phone up is going to agitate him more. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, I felt like she was just tired of it. And she wanted people to know that, you know, this happens. Now, obviously, as time has gone on and maybe she's calmed down, she's probably regretting her decision. Even when you really think about it, this probably has been going on for a very long time, and it must have taken for it to get really bad before she finally went to the police, because she knew that going to the police was going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm. Go up in a different can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, so a couple of rappers, Game chimed in. Online and basically said that, you know, he made an initial statement and people kind of went in on him because he's been
accused
of, of being physically abusive. But he was basically, she said he said that he did not condone the physical abuse, but, you know, social media rips apart Black families. And we had two boys and children that are involved in this and it has to be sorted out between them and not played out on social media.
Well, here's the thing. We don't know what really happened. No one was there but them, as far as we know, when the initial situation happened. As far as the video that we see, personally, I just feel like none of us would ever want a camera there at our worst arguments with our spouse. I mean, I can speak for myself and say that we've had some arguments that were, like, horrible. And if I had to watch it replayed on camera, I probably would be ripped apart, too, in the media. And so would he. And, mm-hmm. I mean, in that video, he's not physically touching her, but he's yelling, he's screaming, he's saying things. You're hearing kids crying, and it's just all bad. But, again, we don't know what actually happened. Let's say that none of it happened. Obviously, we don't know. Let's just say that the punching and all that didn't happen. As far as what we see is the physical evidence, he's just ranting and raging. And he's mad because her father was in their house. We don't know the backstory behind it. Now, if she's missing two front teeth, then that's obvious, blatant evidence there. And there's no question in that. But at this point, we haven't seen any of that. We haven't seen the missing teeth. All we have is the affidavit. An affidavit actually says that there was some type of damage done to her mouth, which eventually caused her to lose the teeth. So we can assume that means he punched her enough mm-hmm. times that they broke or were mm-hmm. loose or something. But it's horrible. When I read it, I felt sick to my stomach. I was like, this is insane.
You know, in the climate of what's going on with the Me Too campaigns and you know, women speaking up and speaking mm-hmm. out, I feel like this situation with the abuse, whether it be in hip hop, whether it be in sports. I know recently we saw the other young man, the Venezuelan outfielder, Danry Vasquez, and him punching his girlfriend, like not realizing that there was cameras in the stairways.
Well, backhanding her.
I mean, backhanding her, slapping her around.
Yeah.
And I think it just becomes like this quiet, you know, problems that occur, but no one wants to talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. And they just think, like, just leave it as a domestic issue. But it's happening, I think, more frequently than we see it. But now the cameras are out, mm-hmm. and we're able now to actually address the situation, mm-hmm. you know? Like, you know, Ray Rice was a client of mine. And I never saw any kind of abuse between Janae and him, but you know, with the what happened at the actual hotel, mm-hmm. And that would have never, been leaked if the hotel didn't go out of business, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So allegedly, if the hotel
it leaked, what, months later?
Yeah, because the hotel was going out of business, and that became, you know, then the actual tape got leaked. So, you know, if it didn't get leaked, I've been around those two for a very long time, and I didn't see anything crazy.
Well, remember initially what happened was the situation happened. Hotel security was called, yes. And they are the ones that arrested them and took them to the police department. The state of New Jersey filed charges against him, and he was going to court for that anyway, but it was going to be dropped, right? I think they actually made it to the point where he was just going to do probation and the NFL was just going to keep on moving and cover it up. Leaked.
Yes. And it's because, you know, there's so many instances, especially mm-hmm. in sports and within the music industry, that these things are just kind of hushed and swept underneath the rug. And it's now because of videotape and other situations that have occurred that now it's becoming and becoming a discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Before the girls are just accepting, because that baseball player, she ended up marrying him. I mean, the way, if that video was so disturbing.
It was horrible.
The way he backhanded her, and then he picked her up and fixed her, put her glasses back on.
And then walked her out.
You know? So, and she was just like, it was something normal, like she was being punished for whatever, and she was like a child, and, you know, and even, you don't even backhand your child like that.
No. But,
and the way he was talking to her was like, you know, like, didn't I tell you, don't you, you know, his hands behind his back and very intimidating. And I mean, as I said, if it wasn't for these cameras, these things will happen. And I mean, because even I remember with like Big Pun, his widow coming out and talking about her abuse, and then people were
upset
that she was speaking up about it.
She was tarnishing his legacy.
His legacy. But I think it happens a lot in hip hop, and it's accepted, and it's just like, yeah, you know, you deserve it or whatever it is, and it's not talked about. So it's sad. And I think it happens in everyday relationships. I think people fight and people just say like, oh yeah, like, you know, we had a fight, you know, grabbed me or slammed me, you know? And I was like, I've never had a man. Have you ever had a guy like,
mm-hmm.
really?
Mm-hmm. I've been in an abusive relationship. Actually, I am on the board of a nonprofit, Beyond the Chair, and it's hairdressers and makeup artists against domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And I'm not obviously a hairdresser or a makeup artist, but I'm on the board. And the premise of the nonprofit is to be of support and encourage and push self-esteem for survivors of domestic violence. But the whole reason why I got involved with the nonprofit is because in college, I went through a very abusive relationship. And how old was I? I met him my freshman year, so that's 17. And my friends picked up on it somewhere close to junior year. So it went on for maybe a year and a half, close to 2 years, until my friends finally were like, you know, something's up. And they didn't know what was up, but they knew something was up. And eventually I came out and I talked about it with them. And then after like talking about it and really hearing myself say it out loud, I was like, okay, this is crazy.
So, okay. Because I was, you know, I mean, it's always interesting to get into.
It's okay. I'm very open about
into it. Into the head of, you know, so you're dating this guy, right? Things are cool or whatever. And what led up to him putting his hands on you or like, where did it start?
You know, it's funny because I don't remember the first time. I really don't. I remember the first time that was that bad for me, but I don't remember when it started. And I don't know if it's something that I necessarily blocked out or if I didn't think it was that bad, but I just don't remember what it was. But I met him and my freshman year. He was at my college on a basketball scholarship, and he was in one of my classes. And his coach told him.
So this is at when you were at Hampton.
This is at Hampton. Okay. And his coach told him, hey, you know, you're having a hard time in this class. Pick a cute girl and ask her to help tutor you. And 9 times out of 10, she'll help you because of whatever reason. So he did that, but we ended up falling in love and we were in a whole relationship. And that was the first time I ever experienced like dangerously in love. Like I've never seen love like that. He was so in love with me that it was scary. I do remember before the physical started, obviously there are always signs, and it was just really intense.
He's very possessive.
He was very possessive and very just in love, if it makes sense. Like, everything was so about me that I was uncomfortable.
Was it obsessive? It was
obsessive.
Yes.
It was obsessive. And it was uncomfortable for me, basically. But I remember one day we were driving in the car, and I don't even know what the argument was about, but we were arguing about something, and I was driving. And all I know is he took his fist and punched me in the stomach while I was driving. So it knocked the wind out of me. And if anybody has had the wind knocked out of you, you lose control of your entire body. So the car just pretty much maneuvered to the side because my feet came off the pedal. I couldn't brake my arm, like everything. It just hunched me over completely until I finally got myself together and I steered the car over to the side, parked, and I caught my breath. And I remember looking at him and saying, what the F is wrong with you? Like, what are you thinking? And instantly it was, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So I was like, okay, this is weird. This is not something I'm used to. Like, my father didn't spank me. My mother did, but it wasn't really like that. What is this? And I remember him, like, just apologizing profusely. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did that. And after that, it was the first time that I realized, I don't love you anymore. Like, this isn't normal. So I slowly started to, like, remove myself. On top of the fact that, like we said, he was obsessive. It was very possessive. So I was missing out on college experiences, parties that my friends were going to, and things that they were doing. So I was back at the point where I wanted to do those things. So I started to retreat from the relationship. And then it got worse, and it progressed, and it progressed. And it never got to the point where, like, he punched me in the face. But it was definitely physical aggression, like punching, hitting, scratching, jacking up. Up, like pushing you into things. Like I remember one time, you know the racks that we used to have that you hang clothes on? They're like folding racks, but you hold them up. Mm-hmm. I had one of those in like my bedroom, and at the time I was living off campus, and he pushed me, but he pushed me so hard that I landed on top of that rack and it punctured my back.
What?
The rack. Like
so you have to go to the hospital?
I didn't. It wasn't, I guess, a deep enough scar that I needed stitches, but I definitely had an open wound. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And then I went to my roommates and was like, yo, what do I do with this cut? Like, and they looked at me like, well, what happened? And I made up some crazy lie, but they looked at my arms. And my arms had, like, handprints on them that I didn't even know were there. Mm. Like, whole bruises that were shaped like fingers. Mm. And finally, I was like, okay, we're done. And the actual process of getting out of that relationship was really a lot. I mean, it took, not for me, because I physically was just done, but for him, it was constant, like, stalking and knocking on my door, and then it led to one situation that was awful that I don't even want to get into right now, to finally the police were called, and this is after we were broken up, like, we weren't together, and he finally realized, I guess, she doesn't want me anymore, and now to this day, he still calls my phone. He lives somewhere far away, like in Atlanta, and he'll call every now and then, and I don't answer. If I see a random number...
Even though you're married, he still does not...
I don't think he's right in the mind anymore. Like, I honestly believe that he's on drugs. I don't know, because I haven't seen this man in years. But when he calls, the conversations aren't coherent. I don't know what he's talking about. So I just stop answering. But every now and then, I'll get a number that's not saved in my phone. It'll say Atlanta, Georgia, and I'll know. Okay, that's him. And I just don't answer, yeah. Hmm. It was really crazy. Like, my parents eventually found out, and they were just like, okay, like, this is too much. But by the time my parents found out, it was over.
So did you rationalize in your head that this is part of relationships fighting? Like, I mean, because, you know, like, okay, for instance, you know, I was in a relationship that was possessive, mm-hmm. right? The person was super possessive. You can't go here. What are you doing this? This is that, the other. And then when he would like get upset, he would have these major meltdowns, right? Mm-hmm. Which I felt intimidated by because he would be super aggressive. Not where he put his hands on me, but I felt like if I kept with the relationship that mm-hmm. it will go there because he was just not in control of his emotions. Mm-hmm. And I would just look at him. He knew that I would just look at him and be like, nigga, you crazy. Like, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and I don't know what's going on with you that you are having such a freaking meltdown like this over something silly, like pumping gas, you know, like just mm-hmm. Why are you acting like a crazy person, jumping up and down and acting all like nutso because
a meltdown.
I told yeah. you put the top grade in my damn car. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do not put the regular in my BMW, you know, or mm-hmm. Audi or whatever it was at that time. Don't do that. Put this in there and you catching an attitude and jumping up and down and acting like an idiot. Mm-hmm. You've got to go. Because
how old were you?
When, I don't know. This is probably within the last 5 years.
Okay, so you were old enough and much. You knew and who you were enough to be like, okay, I recognize this,
but
and
I
that's
think,
not.
I think it doesn't matter at age. You know what I mean? I think it matters with
I think it's life experiences.
Life experiences, self-esteem. It's mm-hmm. a couple other things. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Factors that, mm-hmm. and then who knows what your past experiences, what you grew up with in your household mm-hmm. and so forth. You know? So to, you know, to see the meltdown where I'm just like, okay. And I, at that time I just was like, you know, extremely apologetic. I'm so sorry. I'm acting crazy.
He's acting crazy.
And he had gone through something traumatic with his family. So I was kind of like,
you know, I wish y'all could see her face.
I'm looking like, okay, I'm giving you this excuse of acting like a crazy person because something really traumatic just happened in your family. And this is your way of like grieving and dealing with this situation. However, this ain't my life. Like,
right, right.
This is not like, there's moments like I feel that have happened in relationships when I've just been like, this is not my life. Mm-hmm. This is not what I'm signing up for. Mm-hmm. You need to get better control of your emotions or, you know, whatever the situation is. This, I'm not dealing with this.
You know, for me, I didn't grow up in a household where I saw physical aggression, but my parents argued a lot.
Yeah.
They argued a lot. So I did think that arguing was normal in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's how it started. It started as a lot of arguments. Mm-hmm. I think, if I can remember correctly, because guys, this was so many years ago. This is, at this point, almost 20 years ago. But I think that I rationalized the obsession. No, I'm not going to say rationalized. I confused the obsession with love. Mm-hmm. And felt like, wow, he just loves me this much and doesn't know how to control himself. Let me help him. So then it turned into a parental role. And I started realizing that I was beginning to act more like his mother than I was his spouse. And I was consistently like, what do you need? What do you need? Like trying to fix it. Not realizing that it was nothing I could do to fix that person. And as time went on, I realized that I was beginning to resent him. And it was no longer, oh, I love you enough to want to fix it with you. It was, I hate you. Get away from me.
Yeah.
And that happened quick for me. Yeah. Like, all right, this isn't what's up. Like, get out of here.
Yeah. No, that's mm-hmm. the ranting and raving. And I said, that was the first time a guy like called me a, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The B word. And I was just looking at him like, oh, you done lost your mind. Like, you know, okay.
Right.
And I said, I felt sorry because of the tragedy that happened within his family.
Uh-huh.
So I was just kind of like, and that's what he kind of blamed, you know, his craziness on, because something so traumatic had happened. But I just looked at him like, you know, this ain't going like this.
Yeah. And it's not an excuse.
I'm like, dude, this ain't work with me. Right. Yeah. Like, I'm not that girl, right? You know, and he knew, because I think maybe in his marriage or other prior relationships, like it was like, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. he was able, because they were probably used to that within their, mm-hmm. in their, you know, between in their household.
Right.
that it was normal, or this is things that happen within a marriage or whatever it is. And I said, like, because it was just these meltdowns. It was just very, and it was just like, I'm very emotional. I'm very passionate. I don't give a shit. Like, I was just like, you know, my whole mentality is like, I don't give a shit how passionate or whatever you are. Like, it's I've had arguments and whatever, and that shit is just inexcusable. That's not how you treat someone. And I don't care what you buy for me or whatever to, you know, to apologize for your behavior. The shit is inexcusable. That's not the way to fuck you act. And I'm not going to be accepting of that just because you bought me a nice purse.
You know the confusing part about it? It's the apologeticness afterwards. It's like the apologize, the begging. And like I said, it took me forever to finally get him like completely gone. Like emotionally, I was disconnected, but he kept physically appearing. And every day would be like, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. I mean, it would be long. At the time, text messaging had just come out. Like, it was really new. So I would have these long text messages on my net. What was it called? What was the phone called? The beep beep. Nextel. Right. Uh-huh. I would have these long messages on my Nextel and these long messages on my Sidekick and then popping up at my apartment door. And I'm like, yeah, what in the hell? This man is crazy. And it was always, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I did that. But for me, the saving grace that I had friends that really, really loved me. So I was very able to be like, guys, can you believe this? I had people to talk to. There are people out here that literally don't tell anyone.
Yeah, because they feel isolated.
They feel isolated and they literally just deal with it on their own. So if you're dealing with it on your own and someone is consistently telling you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to eventually give in.
And people are embarrassed, you know, and they don't want to talk about it. And then it just becomes, you become this like trapped animal, right? And especially if you have children or that kind of stuff, you feel like there is no out. And it's sad, and it plays upon your self-esteem, you know, because like even that little short time period, I was just like, I felt a little bit like, okay, who am I going to, because I, you know, I'm really private anyway. I'm like, who am I telling this to? And, you know, this freaking meltdown this person is having. And then am I being a callous biatch? You know what I mean? Because of the traumatic thing that's happened to him. And I'm trying to be understanding, but I'm not going to compromise my self-esteem. You know, and you know, all the stuff that I have going on because of your tragedy. You know what I mean? And I'm trying to be empathetic to what's going on, but at the same time, dude, like, get a grip, you know, like,
yeah.
Get a grip. And it is inexcusable. And I said, yes, it's probably because I'm more mature, more, you know, self assured and confident. And you know, and I'm sure like when you're 19, 20, it's really confusing and you don't know like what is actually going on.
That's what I meant by age. The younger you are, you're a little more confused by it. If it happened to me at 20, what am I? Oh God, I'm not 20 anything. Lord, but in my 30s, I would obviously be able to pick up on it a lot quicker and realize that's not love. That's crazy, you know? But I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, right? Mm-hmm. Because with Ray Rice, it completely ended his career. Like that was it for him.
Yes.
Do you think that Fabulous will bounce back from this?
You know what? What's interesting about the Ray Rice and the Fabulous situation and hip hop and sports, right? And I was thinking about that. I was just like, this is going to get swept underneath the rug and like nobody's going to care because Fabulous, unfortunately, is not, he's not tied to a brand like the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just tied to a brand of hip hop. And in the hip hop world, he's hip hop royalty. You know what I mean? He's the OG. He's a young OG. But he's not like a Jay-Z or he's not like a Chris Brown. He's not on that
he's
type of level.
He's technically like a B-list.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And because he's a, you know, considered like a B-list celebrity for, you know, general pop culture, I think that it's going to fade, especially if she takes him back. It's just going to be like, cause it, you know, what happened with Chris Brown and the Rihanna situation, A, because they were both at the top of their game and he was, you know, they were just kind of like all over the media in reference to the red carpet and this puppy love and how much they were in love with each other.
And they were both A-list celebrities.
Yes, they were both A-list celebrities. And then there was the pictures.
There's a picture. Exactly.
Right.
A picture makes it all worse.
Yes. And then I said with Fabulous, journalist. It's just him, as you said, he's just ranting and raving. Mm-hmm. What caused that? This is that, the other. And people, I saw people making excuses like, well, what led up to that? What made him do that? This is that, the other. But if we see a picture of Emily B missing her two front teeth or a badly, you know, bruised face, then that will put a different, something different on the narrative.
And it may not be a picture. I don't know if the police department are required to take a picture of, well, if the charges were filed, probably so.
Yeah. So, you know, so these are all things that kind of, like I said, I think it happens in hip hop every single day. I think some of these guys, you know, I know of some other people who are A-list rappers.
You've been knowing all the celebrity gossip.
That, you know what I mean? That have, you know, that hit their girlfriends or whatever it is. And they may not be, I said, they may not be A-list. They're A-list rappers in the hip hop world. You know what I mean? But if the story comes out, it'll be, oh, on TMZ for a couple things, and then it's a wrap. Nobody really cares. And I said, like, we're like, oh yeah, Game has something going on, but no one could really pull up that story, right? We just like, but there, and then, you know, Trey Songz right now is going through some issues. He's charged with assault. And
is it against a woman though?
Yeah, it's against a woman. Some girl claimed that punched during All-Star Weekend.
Oh shit.
And you know, and then he came out and he said that, you know, management and so forth said that I should be quiet on this, but you know, I would never. And he talks about his mom and all this stuff, and he has a really close relationship with his mother. But I mean, I think that, and I said, if you look at the Chris Brown, I don't know if you ever did, you see the Chris Brown documentary on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay. And how that kind of ruined his world, but it also shined a mirror on him and what he, you know, when he was, his mom was being physically abused
by his stepdad. Yeah.
You know, and he was the protector against for his mom. Then he ended up becoming the abuser, or felt that it was. And I said, Rihanna had her own family issues that kind of was, you know, part of their culture, you know, and that's how she fought. She hit him and he hit her, and that was just kind of normal dynamics between the both of them when they got upset. So I think that, I don't know what's, you know, I just feel like women, you have to, I know it's easier said than done, but it comes, especially if you have children, you know, you're kind of creating a cycle, right? You're kind of enabling either your son or your daughter to see that this is just normal practice, and it's not normal practice. People should not, men or women, put their hands on each other.
Correct.
But definitely a man should not. I mean, the strength of a man compared to a woman is just completely, completely different, you know? So I said, it's sad, but I don't know what it's going to take for it to change. And I don't know if Fabulous, like, I think he had put up something on his Instagram page or something, like, or his Twitter page right after the whole incident, like, my heart is broken.
And this is something about, like, not everything you see or not everything you hear is what, I don't know, something like that. We don't know.
And that's always the case. It's always like, oh yeah. I mean, that's always becomes the excuse of, oh yeah, it's not what you see or whatever it is. And it's just like, yo, there's people that have seen you smack the girl. You know what I mean? In public.
Yeah.
So like, stop making excuses for the behavior. I don't care what the hell she did. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care what the hell she did. There's no need for you to be smacking her or punching her.
Yep. Agreed. Well, I think it's important that we remind people that if you are in a situation like that and you don't know what to do or what to say, that you can always call the National Abuse Hotline.
Yeah.
And that number is 1-800-799-SAFE. That's SAFE. And then there's also, like we said, the nonprofit that I work on, Beyond the Chair, Inc. And there's a website, and you can go to the website and get lots of information and statistics and resources.
So when your parents found out, what did they say to you?
My mother literally wanted to, like, kill him. My father actually drove to Hampton with one of his male cousins in the car, found me where I was, because he kept calling my phone over and over again, found the guy, and the cousin that my father brought with him had to stop my father from, like, damn near killing him. Like, it was, like, this whole big scene. we weren't at the school at the time. We were, we were off campus somewhere. I want to say we were, like, outside of a mall, if I remember correctly. And, you know, those were all the things leading up there. I was like, okay, I can't keep having stuff like this happen. And my dad never had a conversation after that with me about it. I think he probably talked to my mother and decided it was best for her to handle it. And she kind of just discussed it with me, asked me why I felt like I wanted to be in that relationship. And I explained to her, I don't. I just can't get him to disappear type of thing. And we kind of worked through it together, but I was away. So it was only but so much she could do. But what really got me out of it was my friends, honestly.
How long were you in a relationship?
Maybe a year. And then it took an additional year for him to actually leave me alone. So it was a 2-year situation, but we were only together for a year.
So the school never got involved?
Mm-mm, thank God. Because it would have been a bigger situation for me if they did. He was, he had already gotten put out of the school for other stuff, like scholarships and all that type of stuff. So he was no longer a student. So it would have only caused a problem for me.
So he, even though he was out of the school, he still hung around?
Yeah, he stayed. He had nowhere else to go. There was no point in going back to Atlanta.
So what was his family life?
He was from, like, a really weird situation. Like, his mother was, at the time, really young, and his dad was, like, 80. The dad was really, like, abusive to the mother. They were really poor. He was at Hampton, like I said, on scholarship for basketball, but he lost the scholarship. So at that point, it was, he felt like he had nothing else to do, so he stayed. I don't really know a lot about his life in Atlanta before coming there. I just know it was rough.
And I said, like, you know, even as men, if you feel like you have some type of anger issues, you know, like, it's not, and you've seen situations in your household that were unhealthy, you know, like, I think that you know, you need to talk to someone. You need to, you know, deal with the anger management of that. And women, if you're, you know, if you, that's how you feel like you need to jump on this and act all crazy and do that kind of stuff. Like, you're inciting violence. You know what I mean? And then you can't turn around and be like, well, he, you know, punched me or hit me. Agreed. If you're the one who's like acting.
And it takes like a lot of self-control for a man to not respond to somebody that's consistently beating on them. And I'm not saying it's right either way. I'm saying it takes a lot of self-control, and all men don't have it. So you don't really know what to expect.
Yeah. I know, because I remember my first, I remember I was like 14, right? And my girlfriend was 14, and she was dating this guy who was like 17. And she was like super obsessive with him. Super, super obsessive. So I remember her being obsessive with him, and he was older, and he was doing illegal activity, and she was just like super obsessive with him. She, you know, would not leave him alone because he was like her first and stuff like that.
Okay.
And her dad would fight with him. And then he ended
fight with him physically.
Yeah. Like, cause you know, he was a beat on her. Like, you know, after a while, like, he just was super disrespectful, cheating on her, all kinds of stuff, but she just would not like let the situation go. And he, the father would get involved and, you know, leave my daughter alone and this is that, the other, but they still will continue. It kept to the point where she ended up losing an eye.
The actual eyeball?
An actual eyeball. Like, she ended up losing an eye because it was some weird fight that they had out in the snow, and he hit her and she fell, and you know, and she fell and it damaged her eye. And I'm just like, all of this, you know what I mean? All of this just to like
her eye,
Yikes. You know, but I said, these people, like, you could have hurt, you could have punctured something in your
in my back. Mm-hmm. Off when I fell on the rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, luckily you didn't. But those instances could lead to something else, you know, and it's just like, it just keeps continuing. So let's give that number one more time.
Let me get it back out.
And I know sometimes it's hard to talk about it. It's embarrassing. You feel trapped. You feel isolated, but you are not alone. And there's always a way out.
So again, the number to the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE. And SAFE is the numbers 7233. So 1-800-799-7233.
And hopefully Emily B, like, gets herself together. And I know, like, they could co-parent without being each other's, you know what I mean, lives. Like, because sometimes people fall in love with the lifestyle, you know, and they'll put up with the shit because of the lifestyle.
Well, if he goes to jail for 2 or 3 years, well, she'll be co-parenting alone anyway.
Yeah, we'll see.
There you go.
Anyway, all right. Thank you guys for joining us. If you have any other questions, also, you know, feel free. If you want to speak to Janine about, you know, her situation and how she felt and getting out of it, do you want to give her your email address?
Sure. It's Janine, J-A-N-E-E-N, at tpthemeg.com.
Pete Chris, take us out.
Cardi.
Did I sound like her?
No.
You don't take it.
I don't know how to do that sound.
I can't keep this on the low. I want you to make it ring, 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 ring. Should I call first? I can't decide. I want to, but I got pride. Switching up is what I can't with. I'm feeling you, but you hard to get in touch with. You ain't hit me up in a while. Acting like you don't know a number to dial. You quit, then that's it. I'ma throw in the towel. Cause I'm only gonna do what you allow. You don't want this gun smoke. Learn to text with your nose if your thumb broke. I don't care if we get into it and I stall on your air. But I still wake up to miss calls on your air.